You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. COVID outbreaks that swept the East Coast are now surging in the heartland. The number of hospitalized COVID patients here in Wisconsin has grown to 907, with 228 people in intensive care. That's the Wisconsin Hospital Association keeping track. What questions do you have about our nation's response to COVID? Are you frustrated with how our situation in Wisconsin and nationwide compares globally? Join in, 800-642-1234. Ed Yong is a staff writer for The Atlantic, where he covers science, and his recent piece is called America is Trapped in a Pandemic Spiral. Ed, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Well, explain what you mean by a pandemic spiral.
So I use this analogy of army ants, which forage by laying down these trails of pheromones that that they also follow. If those trails loop back on themselves, the ants do this thing called a death spiral, where they walk in circles endlessly, never leaving it until they die. And it's a really dramatic example of this phenomenon where you're just walled in by your own instincts, and nothing else is keeping them in that loop. We're seeing the same thing with America and its response to this pandemic. There are so many unhelpful intuitions, errors of intuition that people make throughout the year, and that have kept us in this loop. I'm talking about things like, bouncing from one solution to the other, unhelpfully wishing for things to return to normal, magical thinking around cures and miracles. All of these things have stopped us from doing the things that are necessary to actually control this virus, and have led to patterns like what you've already described, that Wisconsin is following suit following the path of other states and seeing massive rises in infections months after we've already seen similar patterns elsewhere and know how to keep this virus under control.
Why are we so focused, Ed, on doing just one thing at a time, or focusing on one development at a time?
Yeah, I think that's a crucial problem. To control this pandemic, we need to do a lot of different things well. We need to test thoroughly. We need to do contact tracing. We need people to wear masks. We need to get good ventilation indoors. But instead of doing all of these things together, putting in a web of measures, people just bounce from one thing to the next. It's like we only have attention for one thing at a time. And I think
journalists are guilty of this too.
Yes, absolutely. We just look for novelty all the time. Our leaders exemplify this problem. Look at the events of the last couple of weeks in the White House. They relied on testing to save them at the expense of doing almost anything else. And now we have some of the most privileged people, the most powerful people in the country, at the center of this massive infection cluster.
When you look at this infection cluster and our view on the virus, where do you see the disconnects, the false dichotomies that are kind of black and white to you?
Yeah, I think that throughout the pandemic, we've made this grave mistake of seeing things in black and white and creating false dichotomies where there aren't any. Things like masks, for example, or really any other control measure, the idea is always, do they work or do they not work? And there's always shades of gray. And I think a lot of this comes into play when thinking about lockdowns or reopenings. This idea that we have two options available to us. Either we shut everything down or we have everything open. And that's obviously not the case. You can think of this like control dial of measures where some things are open, some things are not. Higher risk venues are shutting down. Lower risk venues are opening. And putting creating this false dichotomy between everything open and everything shut creates this like unhelpfully stark contrast and makes people think that if we don't want an entire society to close down for months at a time, then the only other option available to us is to do absolutely nothing, which is, of course, completely untrue.
It's what I hear from you is that we're functioning in this world or in the society of absolutes, all or nothing.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, some of the other intuitive errors that I've written about happen when the all bit is, in fact, nothing. When people rely on overly theatrical solutions. I mean, just look at the debate between Vice President Pence and Kamala Harris, where instead of doing the event virtually or putting in any meaningful measures to protect the candidates, they had, you know, pathetic plexiglass barriers between them that are going to do absolutely no good. So often the single measures that we put into place aren't even effective at all. They're just theatrics.
We're talking with The Atlantic's Ed Yong, who's been reporting on America's response to the coronavirus pandemic, why it has been insufficient. What do you think a successful nationwide strategy to combat the virus should look like? Join in at 800-642-1234. Let's bring in Lisa, who's joining us from Janesville this morning. Hi, Lisa.
Good morning. Back in February, my husband was in Europe on a business trip. He was through four countries, four airports. They were already doing some boarding and deplaning procedures. They were taking temperatures. They were keeping track of where people were going, where they were coming from, which I know they do in general more. But he landed at O'Hare on February 29th. And he came home and he said, I landed to absolutely nothing being done. And he said, we are in trouble, and he was very concerned and expressed significant concerns to family and friends that there was no strategy at all to address what was coming our way and what obviously was already here.
Lisa, thanks. Lisa's showing the contrast that her spouse had. Ed?
Yeah, I think that's absolutely a fitting observation. Some of this comes down to inexperience. America has never truly been tested by a disease like this before, and a lot of countries had been and reacted much more swiftly. A lot of countries in East Asia and in sub-Saharan Africa that have dealt with major new emerging epidemics. Now, this should be, I think, a cause for humility for the so-called greatest nation in the world to react in such a lackadaisical way, where countries with far, far fewer resources and had always been seen as like the beneficiaries of the West's advice and aid did so much more. The kinds of controls that Lisa was talking about, just signs that they were taking it seriously. Whereas America seems to have been trapped in this reactive rut, not just in February, but just continuing now in month 10 of the pandemic.
We're getting signs and symbols here that we have a shortage of contact tracers here in Wisconsin and maybe elsewhere in the country. What do you see there?
I think it's a reflection of two things. Firstly, that healthcare in America is so focused on treating people who are already sick rather than preventing that sickness in the first place. So it's all about very, very big, well-resourced, but very expensive hospitals rather than having healthcare threaded through the community. We have so underfunded public health departments that are meant to protect people's health in the first place. And that underfunding that has played out over many administrations and decades and has been made worse recently is hitting us really hard now. It manifests in things like a lack of contact tracers at a time when we need them most. But in general, you know, we still lack a lot of stuff. I mentioned we're 10 months into this pandemic. A lot of places still lack protective equipment for hospital workers. It was still not testing enough. As you said in Wisconsin, we're in a dangerous situation where hospitals are threatening to be overwhelmed. These are the same patterns that we saw in February and March, and they've repeated themselves throughout the year.
I'm wondering, do you see places trying to share best practices, put best practices in place, or do you see a lot of each community, each city doing their own thing?
A bit of both. Okay. Obviously, the best practices that you've talked about aren't, you know, it's not rocket science, right? There's nothing like there's nothing weird or new radical that we need to be doing. The radical thing is just to be actually listening to public health experts and to be doing a lot of these measures at once. So I've talked about things like testing, tracing, having options and facilities for people to isolate, socially supporting poor or disadvantaged families so that they can actually protect themselves and their loved ones without risking infection. None of these are radical ideas, but the problem is that we're just not enacting them for some reason and not enacting them at the same time. If you look at countries that have done a good job, they're not, you know, using some you know, ridiculous playbook that we don't have access to. It's just that there isn't the political will to coordinate these efforts across the country and to do the things that we actually need to be doing. This is a failure of politics and leadership more than it is of, you know, science and technology.
Ed Yong is covering the pandemic at The Atlantic and digging into the shortcomings, the weaknesses of our nation's pandemic response, what he's seen in the past 10 months, reporting on. What would a successful nationwide strategy look like to remedy this? How has the pandemic affected your life? What do you think our state and nation need to do to get ahead of this? Still time to talk. Your insights, your reaction, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Back in a minute with Ed Yong here on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Let's get back to our conversation with Ed Yong. He's a science writer at The Atlantic, and he's been writing about this pandemic spiral. Think of us as ants marching in circles. We can only sense what is directly in front of us. And this metaphor plays out as we react and respond to each blow of the virus instead of getting out ahead of it through public health planning and prevention tactics. Ed Yong stays with us for 10 more minutes. Let's take a call now. Mary Kay is with us from Kenosha. Hi, Mary Kay.
Good morning. I agree with this gentleman, and we should be following, as individuals in our homes and our businesses, should be following all the CDC guidelines, okay? That's the plan. The second thing is to innovate our homes and buildings, let fresh air in, hold more outdoor venues for businesses, okay? Clean and sanitize your hands, mask, start manufacturing the PPE in our cities, and stock our stores with Lysol products that you can mix yourself, non-aerosol. You can mix it with water, okay? Because I guess aerosol is part of the problem.
Mary Kay mentions a number of things there. Ed, what stands out to you?
Yeah, you know, this a lot of this just makes sense, right? I think ventilation is important. Getting proper protective equipment is important. Look, I think that the crucial thing here is that this shouldn't be on the the burden for doing this shouldn't fall on individuals, right? It shouldn't be down to citizens to sort of bootstrap their way out of the crisis. The reason why we still are in this problem is that there's only one actor with the wealth and the actual political power to coordinate a response across all 50 states, and that's the federal government. And as we have seen, they have absolutely abdicated on their responsibility. And Trump can't even keep himself safe, let alone the rest of the country, despite the resources at his disposal. America runs on the system of federalism, right? It's not the federal government telling everyone what to do. The states do have their own power. But in a pandemic, they cannot act as 50 independent actors. You need some sort of coordinated strategy.
What do you see of a coordinated strategy out of the CDC and the role of the CDC?
Yes, that's a really good point. So I was going to mention that aspect of the caller's point, that the CDC has been completely hamstrung by this administration. The CDC is the shining jewel of public health around the world, and it has utterly lost that sheen over the last year. It's really appalling what has happened to the CDC in being silenced, in being interfered with politically. Some of its advice is still sound. It has a lot of incredibly dedicated career civil servants working to safeguard the health of their nation. But the CDC is not out there, and it's not leading the charge in the same way that it would be that it has done in almost any other epidemic in the past. And the idea that we are now facing this pandemic of generation-defining proportions, and the CDC has been muzzled, has been shuttered, has been prevented from doing its job, is just one of the most absurd aspects of this crisis.
We're talking with Ed Yong, who is a science reporter for The Atlantic. Let's take another call now. Mark is joining us from La Crosse. Hi, Mark.
Hi, I'm going to get my speakerphone off. Yeah, we got to think prevention in a larger sense. The research that U.S. participation in the viral research in China with virus fragments, they were working on 721 viruses. And shortly before COVID-19, they found one in pigs. And the Chinese got right on it. They slaughtered 30,000 pigs, and they stopped right there. But it's tied to climate change, and there's the big picture. They put their pig farm next to the forest, and there were fruit trees on the farm, and the bats came with a virus, and their droppings is what the pigs picked up, and it could have been. So this is just a dry run for more of these things. We gotta be involved in international efforts, and we got to expose Trump's utter ignorance.
All right, and let's get Ed to connect the dots here on climate change.
Yeah, there are definitely important points being made here that we are in for more of this because of climate change, because of our encroachment into wild spaces. This, of course, is not only something that happens in China or in other parts of the world. It can happen closer to home, too. The last pandemic of swine flu in 2009 happened in North American farms. This is something that the entire world needs to think about, because these crises are not separate from each other. Our destruction of the natural world, our intense alteration of its climate are just going to keep on interacting with each other and with this risk of disease. I mean, look at the events of the summer with massive fires blazing across the country, stopping people from going outdoors, forcing them to wear a different kind of mask than the mask that is keeping them from getting this coronavirus. These disasters are going to layer on top of each other, and they're going to interact. And the things that I talked about, these errors of intuition, are not just relevant to the pandemic, but they're relevant to all these other planetary problems. In many ways, this pandemic is kind of a starter planetary problem. And the fact that we have failed so thoroughly to control it should be a massive wake-up call that America and the rest of the world needs to get our act together to deal with crises of this scope.
Mark, thanks. Let's bring in Daryl now from Germantown with thoughts on the crisis. Daryl, go ahead.
Yes, I'd like to talk about your host is really hitting it right on the head with the ineptness and irresponsibility of President Trump to tie the hands of the CDC and actually insult them with their knowledge of what's going on. He makes fun of them. He's on television without a mask on and acting like an absolute fool.
Okay, Daryl, I want to ask you, Ed, as we get closer to the next presidential debate next week, a virtual affair, President Trump wouldn't want it to be part of it like that. What are the risks if it would be in person?
So, you know, Trump is not out of the woods yet. He was likely already infectious during the first debate. Thankfully, Biden doesn't seem to have tested positive yet. He won't be completely out of the woods until this weekend. But if he continues testing negative, that's a good sign. But obviously, you know, Trump is still dealing with this disease. A lot of COVID patients feel better and then do a lot worse. So even for his sake, he should be, you know, taking every possible precaution, and he should be using this opportunity to talk to the public about the safety measures that they need to take. Instead, he is talking about this disease as a blessing. He is, you know, puffing up his chest and putting up this show of fake strength in lieu of any actual strength. And, he's just trying to do what he's always done, which is just to assert his will upon reality. And that's just not going to work for a disease.
Ed, very quickly here, where do you find hope?
As I said, the methods we need to control this virus are not radical, right? We know the plan. We know what to do. We just need to be able to do that. And we've seen that this administration does not have the capacity to learn from its mistakes or to do the right thing. We do have the option to change that in a month.
Ed, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Ed Yong is a staff writer for The Atlantic, where he covers science. His recent piece is called America is Trapped in a Pandemic Spiral. We have a link to his latest reporting at WPR.org/mornings. Just ahead, in this presidential election year, we unpack the Electoral College, how it works, why we use it. What do you think of the Electoral College? Abolish it or keep it? 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.